one thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, Incantations.
Hallelujah.
Wow. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. Now, here's where I'm taking you to, because, you know, one day the Lord was talking to me about something, and it had to do with wisdom. And he was talking about this divine wisdom that we have. How far more excellent than the wisdom of Solomon. I said, Lord, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He said, yes, but your wisdom is my wisdom. Oh, then he said, go in the scriptures and read what Solomon talked about. He said, you're not talking about those things. He said, you're talking about higher things than what Solomon knew. I went into the Bible. I said, I got to read it. Look at it. He said, he spake 3,000 proverbs and songs were 1,005. 1,005 songs. That's not a lot. Now, Look at what he talked about. Look at this. And he spake of trees. Trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. I thought, huh? And he was wiser than all men. I said, Lord, I get it. So what do I talk about? He said, you speak mysteries. You speak mysteries. He says, you speak things that baffle men. Mysteries. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Wonderful. One of my very first experiences. One of my very first experiences of the manifestation of the gift of knowledge. My first experience. I would say one of the first, because that's the one that I really put some measure of importance to. Was by that inspiration talking about something like, so I could understand this, all right? Talking about a fruit that I'd never seen and explaining the inside, the arrangement of the fruit. And the one I was talking to opened the biology textbook and found everything I said to be exactly as I said it, as I described it. said, you read it? I said, no. Never did. Until this day, never have. But I provided the explanation. And of course, from then, I've done same thing to many things. That's how come I know many things. Yeah, I know a lot of things. But most of the things that I know by the Spirit, the gift of knowledge. That's why I told you that gift is very important. You supernaturally know things of this life and the spiritual. See, scriptures are supernaturally given to me. I just know what's there. Then I make a note, I take my Bible, and I open, lo and behold, that's what's there. And sometimes I've had that when that gift is in operation, and I just know what's in the original text. I know what's in the original text. These are higher things that God has graced us with that the natural man can never attain to. They're gifts of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm saying, I'm sharing with you here. Look at it. I just told you, in prayer, we speak what? Mysteries. We speak mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 1 into verse 2, and I want you to notice. Follow after charity, and that's agape. He's talking about love, okay? The love of God. Follow after love. Charity, says, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Hello? How good is prophecy, you see? How important? And I told you, prophecy is the gift that reveals secrets, not the so-called word of knowledge. Let me show this to you. Go to verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. What gift was in operation to reveal secrets? Prophecy. That's a gift of prophecy. So the gift of prophecy brings such kinds of revelations. All right? That's revelations of secrets of men. Things that have to do with men. But the secrets of God are revealed through the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. All right, we're not dealing with that in detail today. We're going on with what I'm sharing with you. I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We just read verse 1. Now go to verse 2. That's where the point is. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. The one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks what? Mysteries. Mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Read from verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah. Hidden wisdom. We speak hidden wisdom. So when we're in prayer, especially through praying in other tongues, we speak what? Mysteries. Mysteries. Divine revelations. Mysteries. So when I pray in other tongues, a lot of times, you know, when I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying in tongues, then when the interpretation starts coming to me and I speak out the interpretations, sometimes it's like, oh, I just spoke out a scripture. Or I spoke out an explanation of something in the Word of God. And I'm speaking mysteries. I'm speaking for solutions. But I spoke in tongues. Now I bring the interpretation, and from the interpretation, I know what the Spirit was speaking. Are you still there? So in prayer, we speak what? Mysteries. But we don't just speak mysteries to the air. We speak mysteries that we might be blessed with these mysteries. These mysteries are the wisdom of God revealed. I just read to you. Go back to that verse. From verse 6 again. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We speak, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And one of the ways we bring the hidden wisdom into this world is through the spirits when we speak in tongues. You see that? And by the Holy Ghost, we speak mysteries. And then by the gift of interpretation, we know what those mysteries are. Otherwise, how can we be blessed with them?
Hallelujah.
This is the continuation of the message, Incantations.
Hallelujah.
Are you following what I'm telling you? So when you're praying in tongues, be alert in your spirit. Wisdom is being spoken. Wisdom. Wisdom is being spoken. And if you keep praying, the interpretation will come to you. So learn to, when you pray, keep your writing materials close to you, because you don't want to lose those important things that God tells you. And sometimes they can be so important, they come once in a lifetime. You can pray the rest of your walk on earth and never have them come back. Be careful. You understand? Mm-hmm. So show yourself worthy of divine revelations. When they come, write them down. Sometimes they don't come in the perfect state. They come in a way that is incomplete. So you have to wait. It can take a long time before it's completed. It can be in a part. And then when it is more complete, now you know it fully. It happened with the apostles, with the prophets as well. Sometimes they were given something, and it in fact took another prophet to complete it. So don't just run off with something. And the Lord told me, you know, indisciplined people are like that. And that's why the most important things in the spirit are not revealed to them. Because every little thing, he told me, the Lord told you. He hasn't even finished telling you. You've run off. The Lord told me. So how can he tell you important things when every little thing, the Lord told me? He hasn't even finished. Sometimes he's telling you things that he wants to work out in your own life. He hasn't even done it. The Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. So are you a talebearer? Can God trust you with secrets? Secrets of the kingdom. So let him trust you. Hallelujah. Oh, this is so lovely. Yeah. So in prayer, we speak mysteries. 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 Oh, boy. I was sharing something with you that's so wonderful. I'll read it to you. All right. Go to verse 2 one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. No man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He's speaking, but he's not understood. Go to verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Did you see that? So we might as well say, let him that speaketh mysteries, not yet understood, pray that he may interpret. You see that? But most of the time, they just speak in tongues, pray in tongues for 2 hours, and then not a single thing did they gain except the other blessings of speaking in tongues. But they gain nothing from the mysteries spoken. So he says what? Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So that at least you can be brought into the realm of these mysteries. Are you still there? That's how come we get to know how to deal with what to deal with. The mysteries are revealed to us. Speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues. So pray in tongues. In fact, you look at that scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, and what it tells us, which is so beautiful. Have you seen it? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he says, pray with all manner of prayer, pray in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit becomes what? The accompaniment for all other kinds of prayer. So whether it's a prayer of faith, he says, pray with the Spirit with your prayer of faith. Your prayer of intercession, pray in the Spirit with your intercessory prayer. What kind of prayer, whatever kind of prayer, he says, praying in the Spirit should be part of them. And what should come first? Go to verse 14 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, where we were. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So which one is priority?
Spirit.
Because from the spirits, you will know what words to use. You'll be inspired immediately. Your tongue will be arranged to say the right thing. Hallelujah. So you see, as a cell leader, you don't always know what you're going to say. But you pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, and your tongue will be arranged by God. You say things you didn't even intend to say. If you get your tongue hooked to God. Hallelujah. So, that's verse 15, correct? All right. So, let's read. And take you now to verse 21. Verse 21. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues, heteroglossos, other tongues, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. This is remarkable what he is telling us here. This is really remarkable. I want you to go back to that verse 21 and let's read again. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And then it tells us that this was a sign. All right? And then gives us the impression that it's not just a one-time thing, but it's become a kind of principle. Look at it. In verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. That's general. Because the first verse was addressed, go back to verse 21. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. So, a sign that was awaiting Israel. He says, there's a sign coming, but they will not believe. But it's a sign all the same. To a specific people, it says to these people, not to people, to these people. Now, I want you to look at it again because it's so important. It says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues. And I want you to notice the expression, other tongues and other lips. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that will they not hear me. Now, let me keep the scripture there. I want you to look at something. The words men of don't exist in the original. Those words were employed by the translators for a reason, and I'm going to show you the reason. They put them there for a perceived or assumed clarity. The trouble is, while they were thinking of making it clearer, they confused it. They confused an already confusing expression because they didn't know.
Hallelujah.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Gambia, Christ Embassy Church Junction, beside Tech Road Petrol Station, Kotsumanjai. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 266-3231 or 261-4565 or 359-3454 or plus 220-266-3231 or plus 220-261-4565. Or plus 220-359-3454. Or send an email to LW Transmissions at level360.com.
Hallelujah.
In fact, if you use a proper King James Bible from where we got this, you will notice that men of are italicized or put in parentheses, in brackets. How many of you have observed that? Good. Meaning that they were not there in their original manuscript. Now let's read it without men of. What will you get? With other tongues and other lips, I will speak to these people. Correct. Because men of, not supposed to be there. But I, like I said, I know why they put it there, and I'm going to show you. Since it says in the law it is written, I want to show you where they got it from. Okay? Now, when Jesus used that term also in the law, he wasn't referring to the first five books of Moses. All right? No. Sometimes that term was applied to the books of Moses, the law, and the prophets. Sometimes when Jesus said so, he meant the larger volume. And that's the same case with this in Paul's writing. He was referring to the larger volume. So you'd find it in the book of Isaiah chapter 28 from verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Did you notice? These people. Next verse. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. This is quite interesting. Wow. I want you to go to the CJB. Let's look, Book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse 19. Therefore, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be erased. Look at the next part. So that times of refreshing may come from the Lord's presence, and he may send the Messiah appointed in advance for you. That is Yeshua. He says, repent and turn to God. He's talking to the Jews. Peter is preaching to the Jews so that your sins may be erased. I like that word. Erased, blotted out, deleted. Next. So that times of refreshing, times of refreshing may come from the Lord's presence. He says, if you repent and turn to God, there are two things that will happen. One is that times of refreshing will come from God's presence. Two is that Messiah will be sent back to you, because he says, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, as in the next verse. He has to remain in heaven until the time comes for restoring everything, as God has said long ago when he spoke through the holy prophets. Now go to the ESV. The ESV can make our reading from verse 19 much clearer. Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you. Jesus. So, two separate things. And correct contextually. The King James translation makes you think it's one thing together. And it becomes a problem when you compare the fact that he immediately tells you in the 24th verse that he must remain until the times of restitution. So that becomes confusing. That's why I wanted you to read it from a better rendering so you get the clarity that they're two separate things. The result of the repentance. They repent and their sins are blotted out. And he says, times of refreshing. He says, so that times of refreshing may come. Now, these times of refreshing are our times in the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. So you go back to Isaiah chapter 28. We're reading from verse 11 to verse 12. I want you to follow this. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Do you get it now? Okay. So he did promise times of refreshing. And that's what Peter spoke about. And in fact, Peter again in his own writing quoted from that same very chapter, just a few verses down. He quoted there again because from here he went on to say, I lay in Zion a stone, a foundation, referring to Jesus Christ. So that lets you understand what Paul and Peter thought about this very verse. That it had reference to the ministry of the Spirit and the church today. But here is the beautiful thing you've got to catch. If you don't catch this, you can take a pillow and start sleeping. This is so important. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21. In the law, that's the place we read. Here's what he says. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues. Now, I told you, get rid of the men of, okay? Because that don't exist in the original. In fact, where we read, it wasn't there. But the reason they put it is because in their reading of the chapter and previous chapters, they had a misunderstanding. They thought that God was talking about sending the Babylonians as men of foreign lips. And because the word that's translated stammering can also mean foreign, okay, means unintelligible. In fact, it actually means a buffoon. That's interesting. And to think that with men of other tongues, that's the reason they put that there. So they say, with foreigners. They think, with foreigners, God is going to talk to these people. But that wasn't what God was saying. He wasn't saying, I'm going to send you the Babylonians to come and talk to you. No, that's not what he was saying. And then, you know, went on to say, they say they're little. In fact, when you read some of the translations, you'd find the confusion that many had. They put some of the verses with question marks, meaning that they think questions were being raised by the Jewish congregation to whom Isaiah was prophesying. Okay? Why some others would put it in the affirmative. Do you understand that?
When we pray, God hears. When we pray, God responds. This is our strength and confidence. In this concluding segment, the man of God, Pastor Chris, teaches on the importance of making deposits of prayer into our future.
Okay, so Interesting. Let's read it. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues, or get rid of men of, with other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. Okay, where is it coming from? We got to verse 15, right? Corey said, what is it then? I'll pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed. So we know he's talking about speaking in tongues, right? He's talking about speaking in tongues. Okay, go to verse 16. Verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, that means bless with other tongues, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? Blessing is giving of thanks. I told you already. Right? Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. He says, if I use tongues to speak blessings, how can the other guy say amen? Because he doesn't know what I'm saying. For no man understandeth him. You remember? Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Great. You are wonderful. You're understanding everything so quickly. You're amazing.
Hallelujah.
This is the continuation of the message, Incantations.
Hallelujah.
All right. So, look at verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Why? Because they don't understand you. All right. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. I go, whoops! So Paul spoke so much in tongues, he had the audacity, the boldness to tell a whole congregation, I speak with tongues more than all of you. That must show the secret of success. So if you were smart, you better start speaking in tongues. Start speaking in tongues more than your congregation. All your pastors and all your cell leaders, start speaking in tongues more than your cell leaders. That doesn't mean you slow them down speaking in tongues so that yours can remain high. No, speak more in other tongues. Come on, somebody. So every now and then, hallelujah. I can imagine. Every now and then. How will he not be successful? And you know what Paul went through. You read about him. He had better have spoken in tongues. Hallelujah. But you see, we're facing even a more vicious world today. And so we've got to, my brothers and sisters, we've got to. This man spoke with tongues. He says, more than ye all. Look at it. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Ah. Do like this. Ah. Serious business. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Huh. All right, look at verse 19. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So when it comes to church, he says, I teach people the word of God so that they can be blessed rather than speaking to them in tongues. Next verse. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. Don't be expert in bad things. That's what he's saying. But in understanding, he says, be grown men, be adults in understanding. So that's how we got to verse 21. In the law it is written, with other tongues and other lips will I speak. So he's quoting scripture. He's quoting scripture to corroborate his explanation about speaking in tongues. So he's letting us know that scripture has to do with speaking in tongues. That's what I'm telling you. While others are thinking it has something to do with Babylonians. It's got nothing to do with Babylonians. That's why the King James translators put men there. Men. It's got nothing to do with that. It's exactly what the scripture said. With other tongues and other lips. So we go, and you remember, when you move from one language to another, some things get missing. Some things get missing. So let's go back and find what got missing here. What got missing here? What did Paul know? What did Paul know that made him speak with tongues more than everybody else? What did Paul know? There must have been something about this speaking in tongues. What in the world was he talking about? So you go back to what he was telling you. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. He says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. So a sign is coming, he says. And it came on the day of Pentecost. It was a sign. Acts chapter 2, let's read. From verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now they came from all nations, the Jews came from all nations, from the various nations from where they were born, from where they had lived, everybody journeyed to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And you know, our God is a master strategist. He just waited for everybody to come. While they're all waiting. Oh, let's read it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The disciples of Jesus, 120 of them. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem. They had come. Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, when the noise came out, okay, because they're speaking and they're getting louder. Louder. Did you ever experience that? We are just 15 of us praying in the room. We start. You remember? We do it all the time. And then it's getting louder and louder. And if you were the host of the cell, and you were just holding, you were doing it in one area of the house, you start getting concerned now. And you say, brethren, you want them to calm down. They all started well. Kirabaka, shikarabaka. But the next one, rasata lebaye, erabaka yelele, baranaba. And you say, please, calm down. You think you have it made. They go, but then they start revving the game. Hallelujah. That's what it's telling you. When this was noised abroad, when it went out, the noise went outside. It says the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Listen. He didn't say they spoke in every man's language. They didn't speak in every man's language. They heard them speak. They heard in their language. And they said, are these guys Galileans? And they were all amazed and marveled. If they had spoken in their language, they would have not been so surprised. It was a sign. Don't you get it? Because they also came from everywhere. They were just as, they're from different countries. Maybe these guys have traveled abroad. And they are back with the Spanish, Italian, Russian, right? But no, this is, they were all amazed and marvelous in one to another. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? But, and how hear we, not how speak they in our own tongue. How hear we, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. It's just like when Jesus called Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Jesus spoke to him. And he says, I heard him in the Hebrew tongue. I heard him in the Hebrew tongue. We don't know that Jesus actually spoke Hebrew. Might have been Hebrew. But one thing is sure. The other guys didn't hear. They heard the sound, didn't know the meaning of the words. Bible says they heard the sound, and many of them were Jews. How come they heard the sound and didn't know the meaning if it was all Hebrew? Paul says, I heard him speak. I heard him in the Hebrew tongue. So it's the hearing. The hearing of it is one thing. The speaking is another. So when God talks to us, we don't know all the time what language he's speaking. We just know we heard him. We heard him in whatever language that we speak and understand. Somebody says, what did God speak? I said, forget. I heard him. I heard him in my language. Did you get it? In the language that I understand.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Gambia, Christ Embassy Church, beside Tech World Petrol Station, Kutumanjai. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 266-3231 or 261-4565 or 359-3454 or +220-266-3231 or +220-261-4565 or +220-359-3454 or send an email to lwtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.